would cause us to be distracted. We are distracted by the television, by the phone, by friends, by the job, by family members. There's so many things that would cause us to be distracted, but we have to have that make-up mind to set ourselves apart on a daily basis to pray, because that's where our strength comes from when we depend on Almighty God. So as believers, we're called to pray. We are called to set time to read the Bible. Don't let it be like a pressure or a constant threat on your free time or whatever, but let it be something that you rejoice to do. You want to read about your new master, Jesus Christ. You want to pray, you want to talk to him, and the way we talk to him is through prayer. Cultivate that attitude of prayer. I set for myself, in order to stay prayerful throughout the day, I set for myself three break time throughout the day that I stop and pray. I'm trying to adhere by it as close as possible. I'm not perfect in doing it, but I'm trying to work myself towards perfection in it. I at 9 o'clock in the mornings, that's when I'm at prayer time. 9 o'clock, 9 a.m. The other one is 12 noon, and the other one is 3 p.m. I try to take a break during those times and just pray to Almighty God. I stop doing what I'm doing and just breathe a word of prayer, even for 5 minutes, just to acknowledge his presence there, because you can easily well go for the whole day and don't even remember to pray, and you have to be intentional about it. And the reason why I choose 9, 12, and 3, they are very significant hour. It was at 9 o'clock that Pilate would put Jesus on that cross. Jesus was on the cross at 9 o'clock. It was also at that time in Acts that the apostles were in the upper room waiting to receive the Holy Spirit. And Peter would have said, "We are not drunk. It's only the third hour. The third hour of the day. The third hour of the day is 9 o'clock. The first hour is 6 o'clock, 6 a.m. That's the first hour of the day according to the Jewish timetable and whatever." So the upper room experience was a 9 o'clock experience, and at 12 o'clock, the significance of 12 o'clock is that it was at 12 o'clock when Jesus was on that cross that the whole earth turned into darkness from 12 to 3. The whole place turned into darkness at 12. That's when he took on our sins and everything started to, stuff. And it was also at 12 o'clock that the apostles would go into the place of prayer to pray at that time. And it was also at 12 o'clock that Peter was praying, and he saw all sort of four-footed beasts moving up and down, like up and down, going up into heaven. And he got a voice, say, "Kill and eat, arise, Peter, kill and eat." And it was during that time, that same event, that the Gentiles, that us, were called, received the gospel during that time. And 3 o'clock, also significant. As I said, it was darkness from 12 to 3 during that time. So 3 o'clock also has its significance. So I chose those three times to pray. You can choose whatever times you want to pray, as long as you pray. Amen. So we are called to pray, to read the word of God. And as we are gathered here, Sister Camille is going to teach this first lesson. But we just want to invoke the Holy Spirit. Just want to breathe a word of prayer before she comes. Lord, we're so mindful of your presence. We're grateful that you have called us to faith. You have called us to a time like this. We thank you, God, that we are not our own, but we belong to you, Lord. We quiet our hearts and our spirit before you even know. We pray, mighty God, that you will come and you will make your abode with us. You will remove from us any blockage, anything, mighty God, any hindrance, any little reflection, or any little anything from today. Hallelujah. It may be a bad news that we have received, or it may be some assignments that we need to complete. It may be some things that we would normally do this time. But Lord God, we pray that as we break out of our comfort zone and to come into a format like this to learn more about you. I pray, mighty God, that the atmosphere around us will be conducive. I pray, mighty God, that whatever elements of darkness that will seek to militate against us, we disperse it with the blood of Jesus even now. And we pray, Spirit of the living God, that you will fall afresh upon this group. I pray, mighty God, that there will be no hindrance to your word as it go forth. I pray, God, that as your human servant would present, that the word would go forth with power and with clarity. It will cut and clear. Hallelujah. And it will take root in our lives, mighty God. And by it, we will feast and we will live by your word. Lord, we pray for the empowerment of your Holy Spirit to thus take full control of this atmosphere even now as we focus on you upon your word. Hallelujah. Have your way, Holy Spirit, as we welcome you in this place in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Welcome, everybody, again. I now turn over to Sister Camille. Bless the Lord.
Well, thank you so much, Deacon. Good evening again, everyone. We bless
Good
the
evening.
Lord. We bless the Lord for this opportunity where we can meet and gather in this fashion. Thank you, Deacon, for sharing, for setting the tone for us and reminding us, that it's necessary to be intentional in prayer. We bless the Lord. I bless the Lord for you, Deacon. God bless you as you continue to work. I acknowledge the presence of Elder Edwards with us tonight as well. And as I share tonight on the topic, who is the Holy Spirit? I want you to feel free. And I will intentionally have slots where you can ask questions because this is really for us to, to grow in the Lord and to clarify any questions that you may have, any concerns that you may have. And it's just a sort of interaction kind of thing. I will say to Deacon and to Elder Edwards that at any point in time you are led, feel free to interject and to share what the Holy Spirit has laid on your heart, and to the others of us who are here, feel free to indicate in the chat, raise your hand and ask your questions. If you want to open your camera, we welcome that as well. If you want to, then we want to see your beautiful and handsome faces if you are able to do so. We bless the Lord. And so as I was preparing, to present, I was saying, who is the Holy Spirit? I started reflecting and realizing that, I have not exhausted, I have not discovered and uncovered everything there is to know about the Holy Spirit yet. So how can I share, But then I said, I will do my best today to share to the best of my knowledge. And of course, my knowledge is, it has a limit because the Holy Spirit, you can't exhaust him. You can't understand him in his fullness, So I'll share as best as I can. And please note that as I share, it's really just a glimpse of the nature of the Holy Spirit and ways in which he may operate. It's just a glimpse. It's like a meal. No man on earth can ever give you the Holy Spirit and present him in his fullness, because no man on earth has experienced the Holy Spirit in his fullness. Amen. But as I share today, I pray that the Holy Spirit himself will reveal himself to us, to each of us on the platform, and bring each of us into that deeper understanding, deeper revelation of who he is, because words are not enough to express who the Holy Spirit of God is. Praise God. So, who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit, as I said, words are not enough, but he's not a force. I want us to recognize that the Holy Spirit is not a force. Yes, we have our spirit and we have spirits of demonic forces, and we may refer to those spirits as it. But as it relates to the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit himself is a person, is God in his fullness. He's a person. So we refer to the Holy Spirit as he. Amen. When the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit he brings with him a presence. So when some persons come up and they might be beside you and you don't even recognize, and you'll be like, you know, you frightened me, because you didn't realize that the person is there. It's not the same when the Holy Spirit comes. When the Holy Spirit comes, he brings a presence and everything shifts. Everything changes. You know, sometimes he take different appearances, and we're going to look at some of those ways that he might appear as we go further along. But he brings a presence with him. The Holy Spirit in John 14, verse 26, he is referred to as the Comforter. He is our Comforter. And so when Jesus was going to transition to heaven, and he was, you know, the disciples would have been concerned, and he said that he was going to leave with them the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and he has left him with us. And so it reads, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." So he is our comforter based on the word of God. The Holy Spirit of God is understood to be active. It's not just a spirit lurking and just going around. He's active. He's understood to be active. He's understood to be the personal presence of God. And so when we say that we want more to experience more of God in our lives, what we really want is the power of the Holy Spirit to be manifested more. You know, we want the Holy Spirit to take us over some more. Amen. And so he is the personal presence of God that works in the world, in this current world, in the lives of believers. Amen. Are we understanding? Do you have any questions so far? I know I just started, but I really want clarity. So I'll open up now for you to tell me to go on, or for you to tell me that you have a question. Which one is it? And when I call on my children, I'm a teacher by nature, by profession, you know. When I'm at school and I talk and I call names, you know. So if you don't want me to call your name, just tell me to keep going, Sister Camille. Praise God. Sister Shanique.
Keep going, sis. I'm here. Present. I'm here.
All right, praise God. All right, good. The Holy Spirit is also the third person in the Trinity. Have you ever heard about the Trinity? Yes, man, the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Any of our young believers know or want to share their understanding of the Trinity so we can have a discussion? Who's the Trinity? Anybody? All right. Thank you for your honesty, Sister Shanique. So when we refer to the Trinity, where we're talking about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So he's the third person in the Trinity. So the Trinity consists of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let's look at the Trinity briefly, right? Though the Bible, and if you should search the Bible, and I never realized until I was preparing this presentation, the Bible doesn't really have mentions of the word, the Trinity, in it. It doesn't. But if you look at scriptures, there are scriptures that talks about God be the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Right? But it may not refer to him or to them as the Trinity. When we look at the benediction, for those of us who go to church and we hear the benediction that we sometimes say, found in 2 Corinthians 13 and 14, it says, "May the saving grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter." And it talks about, oh, let me start again. So it says, "May the saving grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." So Jesus Christ is the Son of the Trinity. The fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that's number two of the Trinity. The love of God the Father, that's three in the Trinity. Rest, remain, and abide with us now and forevermore. That's usually the benediction that is said. All three of them are mentioned. Also, what was very important, what was, you know, what stood out to me to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. That was in the book of Genesis, it talks about, in Genesis chapter 1, it talks about how the earth was without form, and God spoke and said, "Let there be light," and there was. And then it's a creation story, right? In verse 26 of that same book, chapter 1, chapter. God said, and if you have your Bibles, you can find it. It says, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish and the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So when the word of God says, this is God talking, God in heaven, you know, talking, and he says, "Let us make man in our image." That means man was not yet formed. Human beings were not yet made. Yet God says, "Let us make God in our image." That means that it wasn't God alone that was there. Because if it was God alone, he would say, "I think I'm going to make man in my image." But he said, "Let us." And so from that very point in time, there was evidence of the Holy Spirit, there was evidence of Jesus the Son, and there was evidence of God the Father. All right? All right. So the us that was mentioned in Genesis 1:26 is referring to the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The Word of God says, "Let us make man in our image." Which means that God would have made us, made you in his image, right? And just like how, you know, one of the easiest concepts for me to explain the Trinity is just like us as believers, because we were made in God's image. And if you think about yourself, you have a soul, which the mind is the gateway to the soul. You have the flesh, which is what tells you that you need to eat, you need to sleep, you're embarrassed, you're tired. The flesh is what tells you that. And we also have a spirit man, right? And so when you think about those three aspects of you. It's still there's Sister Desiree, you know. Sister Desiree in flesh, Sister Desiree in spirit, Sister Desiree in soul. There's three different components of you, but they still make you, Sister Desiree, if you understand what I'm saying. It's similar to the Trinity. The Trinity has the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but it's still God. Though we might say, you know, the soul, the mind, the soul, the flesh, and the spirit are all parts of Sister Erica, right? And so they have distinct role. It's the same is true for the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They have distinct role, but none of them is referred to as a part of God. Each of them is still God in his fullness. It's a mysterious thing, and like I said, words cannot fully explain how the Holy Spirit operates. But God the Father is like our soul, right? In your soul lives your mind, what you imagine. In your soul, what your will, what you want to do, what you don't want to do. In your soul lives your emotions, what you feel, right? And it's similar to God the Father, because God the Father is the one who governs our decisions, governs our emotions. You know, like how the father would direct the child, you know? And so the soul can be lightened onto. And this is just an analogy. This is not exact. I'm just trying to help us to understand the Trinity. It doesn't, and it can never perfectly explain how God is, because, you know, we fall short there. But just so we have an idea, that God the Father can be likened unto, right? So he governs our decisions and our emotions, right? God the Son, his name is Jesus. He would be like our body, right? And we know John 3:16, for God sent, God the Father, God their Son, you know, sent his only begotten Son, that is Jesus now in the flesh. Because when God came on this earth and became flesh, he was Jesus. We called him Jesus. When he became a living soul and walked the earth as a person, he was Jesus. So our bodies would be like Jesus, God in the flesh. All right? And then comes a part that we're focusing on now, the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is kind of like our spirit. Just like how our spirit is what connects us to God. That's why you hear them say, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Our spirit is what connects us to God. We're connected to God through our spirits. We can't talk to him. His glory cannot, we can't enter a room where the glory of God is in our flesh. No, we don't have the, we can't contain it. You know, the flesh and the bones, it just melt away. That's the glory of God. But when we want to connect with him, we go in prayer. And that's why when we go in prayer, we see some things that we don't see with the physical eye, because we enter a different realm, a different world. Why? Our spirit man has entered into the spirit world, and we call it the spiritual realm. Amen. Are you with me so far? Just give me a thumbs up if you're shy to open your mic. Just give me a just respond with
Amen,
a thumbs up.
amen.
Praise God. What about the converts? I want to hear from them, man. Sister Candice, are you with me? All right, everybody gone silent. All right. I hope that, I trust that we're all with me.
I'm with you.
All right, Sister Jackie, bless the Lord.
Okay, thanks.
Praise God. All right, so the Holy Spirit is who, our spirit is who connects us with God, right? The Spirit of God also, he knows our minds, our thoughts. He's everywhere. The Holy Spirit is like, it can be compared to like Wi-Fi. So Wi-Fi is in America and is in England and is in Jamaica and it's everywhere at every time. Only through Wi-Fi can go. The Holy Spirit is always with us. So the Holy Spirit is with me right now in my house. He's with Elder Edwards in her house in a different part, in another state. He's in with Deacon. He's with each of you. Amen. Bless the Lord, Sister Erica. The Holy Spirit is with each of you wherever you are at all times. Whether we acknowledge him or not, he is there. Right? All right. Good. Now, God the Son is seated at the right hand of God. Right? And because Jesus, God the Son is Jesus, you know. He's seated at the right hand of God and he has access to God the Father. Good? Because the Bible says he makes intercessions on our behalf. The Holy Spirit also has access to Jesus. And oh, it's the Holy Spirit that makes intercessions on our behalf through utterings and moanings. So sometimes you might hear persons praying and you hear them talking a different language. And we know some or we might hear persons say, oh, they're speaking in tongues. That is the Holy Spirit that is making utterance through the believer who is praying and making intercession on our behalves. So when we're praying and we're when the spirit man connect with the Holy Spirit and you pray and you exhaust words and you don't know even know what else to say, sometimes the Holy Spirit will allow you to make some sounds, right? It sounds funny, and but it's the Holy Spirit himself talking, making intercession on our behalf. All right? And I will say that what I explained about us is merely an analogy. It's not a perfect comparison. The Trinity is a divine mystery, you know, and it goes beyond our understanding. Amen. And so every analogy has limits, and so does this one. So this comparison is just to help us to understand what it might be likened onto, and it's not the full explanation of who God is, the God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, so let's jump back now to the Holy Spirit. How does he talk to us? Has the Holy Spirit ever spoken to you? How do you know that the Holy Spirit is talking to you? How do you know it's the Holy Spirit versus your very own mind? Anybody wants to try that one? How do you know that it's the Holy Spirit versus your very mind?
So Camille,
Yes, sis.
for me, I'm not sure if I'm right, but I don't know if I have heard it myself, but I might be going through something, and someone might call with a message, send me a message, or sometimes it's even the media platform that I see, and I'm like, Lord, this is confirmation. Or in the time of whatever situation I'm going through, I might hear something that speaks to me and say, this is confirmation.
Yes. All right, thank you so much, Sister Shanique. Anybody else want to give it a try? And I must say, this is it's a platform for us to learn. So no answer is wrong. You know, you might have a misunderstanding and we clarify it just so we can learn. That's all it is. So you don't have to be shy. All right? You can share, man.
Yeah, I would say that he doesn't force his himself. It's the voice that doesn't force it. The devil forces you, but the Holy Spirit is that still soft voice. Sometimes you only hear it once, but when it speaks, you feel your entire being. You feel the correction in the entire being. It's, you know, so it's that voice that doesn't force you.
Okay.
You know.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Deacon. Anybody else? All right.
Sister Camille, if I may. Good evening, everyone. Sister, was that Sister Shani?
Yes.
Who? I just want to agree with her that God speaks to us through many and varied mediums, you know. But it's that conviction that will come upon us that will allow us to recognize that it's the voice of God. You can send someone to you, as you say, on the newscast. You can hear something and it speaks so deeply to you. You know, it convicts you that this is what the Lord is saying to me. So he speaks through many and varied mediums. So I agree with her.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Elder. And like we said, the Holy Spirit, he's inexhaustible. How can you differentiate? All right, Sister Desrine, I'm going to share some pointers with you, and then if you still have that question, then we can look at it. All right, thank you for your question. All right, so the truth is that the Holy Spirit, as I said, is inexhaustible. Meaning that we cannot limit how he chooses to talk to any believer. Because the way that he talks to Sister Camille, he may not talk to Sister Jacqueline that way. He may not talk to Deacon Scott that way. You can't exhaust him to say, if the is the Holy Spirit and he must talk so, and he must. No. There are many and varied ways, as Elder Edwards would have mentioned, right? I'm just giving some of the ways, right? Some of the more common ways. Through his word. Through his word. He talks to us through his word. The word of God, which is the Bible, is sharp, it's active, it's alive. It's not just words on a page. When we read it, it becomes more than that. It challenges us, assures us, redirects us. But in order for the Holy Spirit to speak to us through the Word of God, we must read the Word of God. We must study it, that it may be written on the tablets of our hearts, that when, he wants to talk to us, we know the word, and he reminds us of the scripture, and then we can say, okay, Holy Spirit, I hear you talking to me, right? So, in order for the Holy Spirit to talk to us, one of the things I would suggest that we do is to spend time in the Word. When you think about two things, the first one, when you think about those of us who might be married, or even if you're not married, you must date, right? And for us ladies, when we meet a gentleman and we go on the first date, we're trying to get to know the person and feel them out and figure out what they like and what they don't like. And same thing for the males. Try to feel out the female, what she likes, what she doesn't like, what she stands for, kind of woman that she is. And so, for you to know the nature of your wife, of your spouse, you must spend time with them. If somebody says something to you within the first couple months of dating, you're not sure what to believe. But after a couple of years, you tend to know his nature, her nature. Is this something that, and you're sort of, you might have doubt. No, so that doesn't sound like something where my husband would have, that doesn't sound like something where my wife would have do. You tend to know their nature, and that is how the Holy Spirit is. In order for us to know his nature, we must spend time with him. And you might even ask how. When you think about a baby, and those of us who have children, and you go out to work and you come in, after a while, you come in and even you call the baby name, Candice, yeah. And the baby would run and come and you take up the baby and you kiss up the baby and all of that. But after a while, and you come through that door, even if Candice's back is turned, and they hear Candice, yeah. They're not going to ask who is that, Then the moment you speak and say Candice, they pick up your voice same time and they turn and they look up to run and they jump up in your hand. Why? How does that happen? Because you would have spent time with that baby, talking to the baby, bonding with the baby, kissing up the baby, make the baby feel like, comfortable. we're in your hands, in your presence. And so when the baby hear your voice, he knows what to expect. He knows you're going to bring comfort. He knows you're going to make him laugh. He knows you're going to kiss him up, all of that. Without turning around to look, he knows that that is mommy. He knows that that is daddy. And so for us to know the Holy Spirit, we have to spend time with him. And we spend time with him in his word. We can spend time with him in prayer. You understand? And then when we do these things, that's how we
Yes.
know how he talks to us. And we know when is him and when I know him. You know? Praise God. Praise God. And so we must spend time with him. You don't know him. As Deacon would say, all right, let me not get ahead of myself. Let me read from what I have. In prayer is another way that the Holy Spirit communicates with believers, right? We might be praying, and the Holy Spirit, you go to pray about the green shirt, you know. And when you finish prayer, you see, you just finish, you pray about all hearts with the land, the far, far, far. How did you get there? The Holy Spirit guides you. So he's a guide, you know. We said that he's a comforter before. He's a guide also. He guides you along a certain path so that you will know how to pray. You've gone straight up and pray. You know, he guides you while you pray, and he might show you some things while you pray and nudge you as to how to pray. You have a question, Sister Desiree? Your mic open.
No.
Okay, good. Another way that he talks to us is the way that Sister Shanika and Elder Edwards mentioned, that impression, something resting heavily on you. And you try to shake it off, and it's no, sir. But you know, it's so heavy. You're feeling a strong conviction to act a certain way or to do something. You know, that's the Holy Spirit generally to do something, right? When the Holy Spirit comes, as Deacon said, he's not going to bad you up, you know, put you in a corner and talk to you a certain way. He just nudge you. But the nudging and that impression and that feeling is that you feel like if you don't do it, Lord God, sometimes I from experience, sometimes when he tells me to do something, and I'm sitting there and I'm just, you know, not wanting to do it, it's like fire in my skin. I have to get up and do it. You know, when he comes, it's nothing. He not come bully you, you know. He's a perfect gentleman. He not bully you, you know. But how he speaks to you, he gently leads you to do a certain thing. And that impression and that conviction on your heart, and you just feel like you need to go ahead and do something. That is the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you. Amen. Amen, Deacon. And when he talks to us, it's better for us to obey. Because the word says obedience better than sacrifice. So it's better for us to go ahead and obey. If you not do it, you're going to get a feeling. The heaviness will, it's when that heaviness comes and nudging, and if you act on it, it lifts same time, you know. But when you don't, it stays on you and it weighs you down. So the Holy Spirit might be saying, come, it's time to pray. I say, let me just finish the conversation, yeah. But you're still here, like you feel, I need to go and pray, you know? And that impression and feels heavy. And you want to go, but you're fighting it. You know that is the Holy Spirit telling you it's prayer time, that impression that you get. Sometimes the Holy Spirit gives us a direct command. Sometimes he talks to us directly and give us instructions, right? But the direct commands, and I'm not saying that he can't talk to anybody. The Holy Spirit cannot be exhausted. He can't talk to anybody anywhere he chooses. But it's easier when we spend time in his presence, that when he talks to us, we'll know that this is him. We'll know his voice and know how to act on it. Sometimes, Sister Candicia, I agree with you. She says, I feel like sometimes he gives us the opportunity to be obedient even after we refuse to do something the first or second time. Yes, when he's trying to win us over, you know, like when we knew and we're taking it one step at a time and we're kind of uncertain as, is this the Holy Spirit? Is this my mind? That he's very patient with us and he extends grace. But after a time, when we reach that place where we know the voice of God, we know that is the Holy Spirit talking to us, and then we know the Holy Spirit are telling you, we know, no excuse, but we don't act. No, that's when he's going to, you know, he might give us a chance, he might not. And let me share with you, and then I'll comment on what Edward says. When I was in Jamaica and I bought a car. My husband and I bought a car, a new car. And just by it, you know, I had a car at that time, and that car was for him. And his brother told us that some foreigners were coming down from overseas and wanted a car to rent and would give us $70,000. You know, say in Jamaica in them time, $70,000 a money. Locks, me start planning me I go do the $70,000. I'm gonna get it yet. But when he said it to me, and he said, talk to your husband and let me know what the decision is. But my husband was so busy and me so busy. Me gonna work, him gonna work, all of that. So we not get to talk. And he called back and he called my husband and said, What you say about the car? And my husband said to him, no, I'm going to talk to my wife and something. And him just said, oh, no, serious man, you know? And he just went ahead and they got another car. And we just lost that $70,000. And so I knew right there and then I should just grab onto it because the Holy Spirit had given me the permission, but I didn't act in it. I told them, you know, I want to wait and see clarity, which I know nothing is wrong with that, but I should have dealt with it immediately. And I felt the nudge to deal with it immediately, but I didn't. I kept putting it off. And I lost that $70,000. And I was trying to get it back. So I went in prayer and I was praying desperately. I don't even remember if I fasted. I was just God, just give me an opportunity. He didn't. He didn't, because guess what? He spoke to me. I know it was him. He says, move with urgency. And I took my own time. And what did he do? It was gone. So I would have benefited. And because I didn't obey, I had to face the consequences. I lost that money. So sometimes he is patient and he will give second chances, but you don't know when. And especially if we know that it is the voice of God, let us move same time, you know? No matter delay it once we know that it is him. Amen. All right. I had some more, but I will stop and I will open the floor for any question. Oh, Elder Edward says the Holy Spirit guides, he corrects, he reproves, he rebukes. All of the above. Yes, man. He will give a proper reprimand. You see, Sister Candisa, what if he tells you to do it the first time and you don't do it? And he gives you a second time and you don't do it. And you know it's the voice of God, you know. But you know, act on it. He's what you better believe. He'll give you a rebuke. He'll reprove you. Sometimes you have a certain thought in your mind and you know it's the Holy Spirit that tell you, say, perish the thought. You know, get rid of it. You're not supposed to be thinking that way. And he rebukes, man. And I feel like when that rebuking part of it comes out, it's that firmness and that guidance is God the Father. You know, and just, you know, a father would act to their children. Yes, sometimes he's that. Sometimes he takes on that form. Didn't I tell you you're not supposed to do it, Camille? I mean, I said, oh God, have mercy upon me. But in rebuke and reprove and school me properly too. You know? And for days I have to say, Lord, forgive me. God, forgive me. You know? But then he does it in such a way that you're provoked and challenged to change. You really want to rush, go do it. It's not like when a parent talk to a child and the child is puffed up and feel like the parents shout at them or whatever. It's just something inside of you that makes you eager in wanting to change. No, sir, let me have to stop to that, you know, that kind of thing. Because he's so gentle, he nudges you know, and provokes you into that change. Go ahead, Elder.
Okay, Sister Camille, I would also like to add that the question may arise, how do we know that the Holy Spirit is correcting or reproving or rebuking us? The Holy Spirit works through the Bible, the Word of God. So some things that you may do and it is wrong, there's a scripture that will speak to you, you know, to his spirit, and also through our consciences, you know, to expose wrongdoings to us. Us and to lead us into repentance. No,
Amen.
so two main ways is through the word of God. It brings a conviction upon us and exposes us to the reality that this is a sin. We have gone wrong. This is not the road that we are supposed to take. And it also works on our consciences. We won't rest well, you know, we won't rest until we recognize that it is wrong and we repent.
Amen. Agreed, agreed, Elder. Amen. Yeah, man, that's how he works. And that's why I'm saying the first one I pointed out, and I was intentional in putting that one first, is the word. Because we, as believers, that's our food. And if you notice, people will not eat and them not eat the right things, what happened to them? They're malnourished. No, we don't want to be malnourished in the spirit. Because you see, the enemy, the devil, oh gosh. You think he's happy that you're making this decision to serve God? News flash, he's upset. And he will do everything that he can to stop you from walking that path. And so if we're going to make it to heaven, we must be intentional. Our source of nourishment, we must eat the right way. Our source of nourishment is the Word of God. We must read it. And when you read it, sometimes you may not understand. But you pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And nothing is wrong with seeking clarity from somebody else. You understand? I used to do it. Sometimes when I look back on some interpretations that I had when I just started out, me said, Jesus, you know? But as the more time you spend trying to read and understand, the clearer it is, the clearer it will come to you. The more the Holy Spirit will expose what he's saying to you. Amen. And so we must read the Word of God. Once we read the Word of God, then we will know when when you hear a scripture drop in your spirit, when you hear a scripture come in your mind, you know it's the Holy Spirit correcting you. Like this lady that told a lie on me, and I was so upset, you know, and I was going to the car and I was just mumbling under my breath, and I said, this lady tell a lie on me. And I said, God, this all this. I was complaining, you know, but I was complaining to God. I said, God, this all this woman tell a lie on me. I said, God, you were there and you say you know saying that happened. And yes, and I hear in my spirit, count it all joy when it fall into diverse temptation. I mean, they let me want to argue the Holy Spirit. I said, what kind of temptation? He said, you're tempted to complain. He said, put it away and worship. You know, that's what I heard. And I'm like, all right, let me just breathe. And then I started playing the music in the car and I started worshiping. Because if I didn't know that scripture for God to talk to me, I would have probably did a complain, complain, complain until it lead to something else. You know, emotions get to another place when you start complaining, you start get stressed, and you know, all of these things starts to happen. But when you know the word of God, he can release the word of God in your spirit and allow us to, you know, be corrected. And correct me right there. If he says, stop complaining and go worship. I'm say, all right, God, I count it all joy and I worship. Right? Praise God. I'm going to stop there for tonight. The time has gone. I'm just going to open up for any questions that we might have at this time. Anything that might be related to the topic that might not be related to the topic that you want to ask a question about. I know the journey is new for us, and so you might have a lot of questions, and that's understandable. So we want to make sure that, you know, We let you know this is a safe space. You're not going to be judged for asking questions. What if you read the Bible often but still can't understand some things? Alfred says, Sister Candy said that it's normal as a young believer to not understand certain things. But like I would have shared, you can seek clarity. Ask somebody who is older in the faith to explain to you what this is. You can try to do smaller portions. Yeah, I was encouraged to do just smaller portions. Changing the version too. Okay. All right. I keep changing the versions because sometimes it gets a clear. There's a version that says easy to read version. It or amplified version, and it breaks it down very, 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 very simple. Using ChatGPT, I would say just be kind of be careful because it might give a good explanation. When you read it and I would say, receive it based on the conviction that you have. Don't receive it based on the how you feel about it. Does it weigh heavily on you that this is what the word is saying? Or because I don't know if I trust ChatGPT so much. Anybody want to add, Elder Deacon?
Yes, Sister Camilla would like to say to Sister Candice and the others that when you read, be patient in reading. Take your time. Don't want to rush and to grab everything one time. Just take your time. And while you should pray and ask the Lord for clarity. Ask Him to open up your understanding so that you can get the full comprehension of what He's saying through the Word. When you take your time and you read, so for example, you read a verse and it doesn't come over to you. You stay with that verse and seek God. And as you say, you can relate to other translation to kind of get a better understanding. But just take your time and be patient while you do it and pray. Quickly, let me share that when I just got saved, I read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and it was this man who was in prison. I didn't come up with nothing. I did apart from the regular verses that I know and would have gotten the understanding answer. I didn't get anything. And this man who was in prison, he was talking to me one day, and I was saying to him, I read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. He's not a Christian, but he was in prison for a long while, and so he familiarized himself with the word of God while he was there. And he was putting some things to me. And he was saying, then how comes you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and you don't know? But after that, I get to understand that it's not a rush. It's taking your time, communicating with God, asking Him for clarity, asking somebody, as Sister Camille said, to help you with a scripture that you don't understand, and just take your time and read. It will come, and you will find out that after a while you start getting different understanding from one scripture, a lot of different understanding. But just be patient while you read the word of God.
Deacon had suggested that when we just formed the new converts group that you John, I think is Saint John Deacon. I said
Yes, it is.
it's a
Yes,
good
it is.
start, it's a good book to start. But as you go, and as Ella said, you just take your time and just read it. Read it in small portions and try to dissect the small portion instead of having the big chunk and then you don't understand it. All right. Always feel free to ask for help. Any other question before we close in prayer? Thank you for asking, Sister Candice. Anybody else? Any challenges that we need to be praying for? All right. Are we good? All right, I'm thinking silent mean consent. So we will close off in prayer. If there isn't anything else, I will say that all of us are a part of the WhatsApp group, and feel free to, reach out to any one of us. I don't promise you that we know all the answers, but we will find out. What we don't know, we'll find out. We'll ask the Holy Spirit. We'll seek, search your word, and we will help you as best as we can. Amen. To answer whatever questions you may have. I'm going to ask Elder to close us off in prayer.
Praise the Lord. We bless the Lord for this session. And we thank him that his awesome presence has been with us. While we close, I just want to leave with us 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. It says, to the international version, it says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow in your salvation. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Sister Camila, see your any prayer requests?
I was just asking if they have anything that they might want us to be praying.
Is there anything?
Yes, I have prayer request.
Go ahead, sis.
I am asking prayer. I know I sent it to the original group, but prayer is never enough. So I'm asking prayers for Roger Clark. He's in the ICU and he's really not doing well. So we're asking and we're praying for some miracle.
Whoa. Praise God. My God. Any other requests?
I'm also asking prayer for myself. No specific reason, but prayer is never enough. It's never too much.
Bless the Lord. Anybody else? Okay. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Father, it is the highest praise. And so we praise you tonight, mighty God. We thank you, Lord, that you are God and there is none like unto you. We thank you, mighty God, that you love us in such a way that you gave your only son, my God, that through him we can achieve salvation, my God Almighty, and we can inherit eternal life. So, Lord, I just want to thank you for your people who are gathered here tonight. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, for those who have said yes to you. And Lord God, as they grow from day to day, God, from strength to strength, we know, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is abiding with them. We know, God, that their experiences are changed every day, God, because you are there in the midst with them. And so, Lord, I pray that as your word mentioned, God, as young-born babes, they are to desire the sincere milk, which is your word, and then they will grow, Almighty God. Father, I thank you tonight for your daughter, for your chosen, for our leader,
Jesus.
Sister Camille Pierre-Chan, one whom you have anointed and appointed for such a time like this. One mighty God whom you have embedded, my God, a spirit of obedience, my God Almighty, so that, Lord God, souls can be garnered into your kingdom. I pray, God, that you will touch her. My God, I pray that you will pour out your anointing upon her. I pray, God, that you will pour your Holy Spirit upon her like a dove. And tonight, God, we thank you that you are her defense, that you are her savior, that you are her King Almighty God. And Lord God Almighty, any plan that the enemy may have had towards her, we pray, Almighty God, that you will nullify it in the name of Jesus, that you will lift up a standard against the devil, oh God, and that you will hide Sister Camille Pierre Chand behind the cross so that the enemy will have no access to her. And God, I pray that you will input into her your desire to continue to be more than an ordinary servant in your kingdom here on earth. Lord God, I thank you for this session and I thank you for the empowerment and I thank you, God Almighty, that your that the new converts, God, will leave feeling empowered, feeling challenged, God. And God Almighty, they will leave with clarity as to who the Holy Spirit of God is. God, we know that it's in a minimum, my God Almighty, amount, because we cannot, God, learn the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But we thank you for this session, and we thank you that your Holy Spirit has been with us. Father God, I thank you, God, that you have appointed us, God. Hallelujah. Deacon Scott and myself and Sister Camille Peart, you have called us, God, at this time to support your children. And I pray, God, that you will remove fear, you will remove doubt, and you will place on them a spirit of boldness, my God Almighty, so that they will reach out to us, and that you will fill us, God, with yes. your power and your word, so that we can minister to their needs, so yes. that they shall grow in you, Almighty God. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you that you are with each of them, that you are touching their lives, that you are providing for their needs, and that you are witnessing to them, and you are protecting them, God, from the plans of the enemy. And God, I pray that they will look forward, they will walk towards the prize of a higher calling, which is in Christ Jesus. They will not look back, God, but they will move forward in faith. I pray for faith, I pray for obedience, I pray, God, that the fruits of the Spirit will engulf each of them in the name of Jesus. Oh God Almighty, I thank you for Sister Desreen, God, who has asked, God, for prayer. Mighty God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that your Holy Spirit will locate her at this time, and God, will you will rest your righteous right hand upon her. God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that you will minister to her every need in the name of Jesus. Oh God, I pray, God, that she will lose her faith, because it is her faith that will make her whole. So God, even as she seek your face, she will open the channels of her spirit and allow you, Holy Spirit, to serenade her at this time. I pray that you will touch, you will heal, you will deliver, you will set your daughter free in the name of Jesus. Mighty God, I put Rajay before you. You are the healing Jesus. You are the balm in Gilead. For those stripes that you have received while you carry that cross, God, you have borne one for Roger's healing. And I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit will locate him even now in the name of Jesus. I pray, Almighty God, that as you reach out your hands of healing, you touch Roger in the name of Jesus, from the crown of his head. Even unto the sole of his feet, I command Roger's spirit to come alive in the name of Jesus. Oh God Almighty, I'm reminded right now of Zairus's daughter. We call you out tonight, Jesus. We call upon you, oh God Almighty, so you can visit with Roger in the name of Jesus, and that you will extend your hands of healing upon him in the name of Jesus. Oh God Almighty, I pray now that the fire of God will fall into that room in the name of Jesus, burning out every sickness, God Almighty, some that the doctors can't even understand. My God Almighty, I pray that you will give them clarity in the name of Jesus, as you touch them, as you set them apart, as you fill them with your Holy Spirit, as you rest your hand of healing upon them, so that they can minister care to your daughter in the name of Jesus. Oh God Almighty, may you hold Roger in your hands. Oh God Almighty, may you nestle him close to you. Hold him close to you, mighty God. And I know, God Almighty, that upon contact, that virtue would have left you and would have seeped and saturated into your son, and would have brought about healing in the name of Jesus. Oh God, I surrender him to you tonight. I surrender him all to Jesus. I surrender everything about Roger. I surrender to you. And I pray, Almighty God, that you will touch, you will heal, you will deliver, you will set your son free in the name of Jesus. Father God, we are reminded tonight that you were wounded for our transgression. You were bruised for our iniquity, that the chastisement of our peace is upon you, and that by your stripes we are healed. So God, I pray that you will hasten to rest your peace upon Roger's family. Oh God Almighty, that they will trust completely in you, for and they will believe, they will lift their faith for his healing in the name of Jesus. I surrender him to you tonight, Almighty God. I surrender him to you tonight. I surrender Roger to you in the name of Jesus, because there is no other way but your way. You are the hills from whence cometh our help. Your our help cometh from no other source but from you, God. So tonight I pray, God, that you will continue to rest with him. My God Almighty, I pray, God, for a good report in the name of Jesus. God, a report that will take him out of the ICU into the ordinary rooms. And God Almighty, even as you continue to work upon him, will bring him to complete healing in the name of Jesus. Oh God, may the family rest in you. You, God Almighty, you, there is no other way but your way. So may they rest in you, abide in you, trust in you, have their confidence in you, that you will bring him through. I surrender him to you, as I continue to surrender your people here on the platform to you, mighty God. Every need, Sister Erica, oh God Almighty, Sister Jacqueline, Sister Desreen, Sister Shanique, oh God Almighty, all the other names that I'm not seeing here, God, but you know, God Almighty, Sister Candicia, Sister Jacqueline Simpson, you know them, Almighty God, you know them, you know their needs, you know their desires, God Almighty, so may you rest your righteous right hand upon them. God, remind them tonight that you move mountains, you cause walls to fall with your power, you perform miracles. So God, may you work your miracles, may you work your power, your resurrection power upon the hearts and the minds of your people. We thank you for your presence that has been with us, God, and even as we dismiss, we pray that your Holy Spirit, God Almighty, will walk with each and every one of us, holding our hands and leading us, oh God Almighty, comforting us, protecting us, guiding us, oh God Almighty, may you direct our steps in your way, even as we exit the platform. We tell you thanks for all that you are and for all that you will ever be.
Thank you, Jesus. In
God's name I pray.
Hallelujah.
And amen. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It is well.
Hallelujah.
It is well. It is well in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. I pray that you were edified. And I pray that as you go, now that you know of the Holy Spirit, may he reveal himself to you and cause each of you to have an encounter with him, so that when we meet again, you can tell us about it. In Jesus' name. I will say, when somebody prays with us, when we say amen, it means that we're in agreement.
Yeah.
And so just if you're receiving, somebody prays for you, receive the prayer, just amen. And that means, yes, Lord, I come in agreement and I receive it. Amen. That's what
amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
As we go, may the Holy Spirit go with you. If there's not anyone else who wants to ask or share anything, then we are dismissed tonight. Unless, Deacon, you wanted to share? Elder, anybody? We're good?
Yes, we're good. I'm good. I'm good. Bless the Lord.
All right. Bless you, everybody. Have a wonderful night. And any questions, as I said, feel free to reach out to us. All right? God bless you.
God bless you all.
God bless you.